Blog Talk Radio.
Broken down, tired, living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find out why it hurts, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. Ooh, mountain. We gon' walk it out and ooh, all day. And all I know, all I like to say, all I know, all I know, and I do it a thousand times again.
And yes, everybody, we have risen once again. Those of you who are across the country in the United States, the night is coming upon us, and I do hope that you have taken advantage of the opportunity to rise, shine, and be the best version of yourself that you could be. For those of you who, where the sun is starting to come up, I'm going to say what's up to my friend over in Shanghai, China. Whoa. They're going through some stuff there. But I had to ask my friend why he doesn't chime in, and it dawned on me. You ever had a friend who thought they knew everything? So I told him, since he already knows everything, just listen and patronize it and give me your comments. But what he's doing, he's sharing the idea that Americans are bonding and we're trying to be more caring individuals. I don't know where that came from, but he's not raising his hand because he's been sworn to silence. And sometimes that's a good thing, but we've been friends for over 25 years. So yeah, that's a long time. That's, you know, that's when them ride or dies. Now, if I had to go through some grief or loss and I had to talk to him, oh man, it wouldn't be easy. He'd probably do something like, hey, just get over it. Okay. There's too much life to live. Okay. And, you're disrespecting the person who has passed by showing all this mourning stuff. I'm like, oh, man, just wanted a little bit of sympathy. My goodness. Okay, so anyway, he's one of those, you need a friend, go get a dog. I'm here, okay? And I'm not always here to make you happy or anybody else. Yeah, interesting fellow. What? Enough of that. I'll also take a look at, oh, our friend over in North Carolina has joined us once again. Well, that's a treat. I have a conversation with this gentleman several times a week. And one of the things that I notice is that there's a balance between me respecting an elder while I'm already an elder too. But since he's got 10 years on me, I got to back off, okay? But he holds no bars and pulls no punches, and I could not have chosen a better friend to have as I've gotten up in age, someone who can tell me I'm full of it or give me a high five when I'm doing something right, but he doesn't hold back ever at all. So, friend over in North Carolina, thank you very much for you being you. And one of the greatest humanitarians to ever live. We won't go off into that today, but just know that it's been stated for the record. Our show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy, where our primary focus is to help our veterans get off the street. How do we say we're the greatest country in the world, and we let our veterans go out there and risk their life and then come back home, and they end up on the street? Hello, America. Is anybody listening with a conscience? Come on, we can do better than that. And then because I was a battered kid when I was coming up, no, we're not going to do the long version of it. However, it's just very interesting that our children that were placed in the foster care system end up, 90% of them end up on the street, jail, or dead after they've aged out the system. Something's wrong there, because if you're the folks who are supposed to provide the parenting and your kid winds up like that, Yeah, I'm saying it's something wrong with a kid who has to wind up on the street. I'm not knocking the kid too much, okay, because the kid has to go through a whole lot of stuff of not being around their parents, their family, and it's just not an easy thing. So, but the last thing that we want to do is let our kids end up on the street, especially after too many people have made a whole lot of money. If I tell you the dollar sign that's connected with the United States government when they say that they want to provide for support services for our children, you would be surprised. There's so many people that get a piece of it from the federal government for having their little meetings on it, and then the state, they get a little chunk, and then it goes down to the city gets a little chunk, and before you know it, there's not a whole lot left. People think that the group home owner-operators make a whole lot of money. Well, they do all right if they have more than one home. But then again, they're stretched so thin, and they have so many rules that it's a challenge. And, yes, I've worked in the field from the ground to the top. I helped many group homes open, and I've helped try to close a few, too, you know, if they didn't get their acts together. Well, enough about me, and I was buying a little bit of time because Dr. Clark has been in transit, getting herself in position so that she can address some of these questions. Yes, we're going to answer as many of the questions that we can, and for you folks who have submitted the questions, I do want to thank you. But I also would like for you to – let's start donating to – we can hear you now, Dr. Clark. Okay. Donate to Flashback, because the way you get people off the streets, you got to have shelter. Well, we got the land, and we're working on the shelter, and my goodness, there's too much empty space there. What we're going to be doing with the funds that you send, even if a dollar is good, is to Flashback Academy on our Cash App, is put the roofs together for the housing, the classes, the hiring of the instructors and teachers, building a theater, getting the running water going, getting the fence put up around. Yeah, you can see there's a lot of stuff that's going to have to be done, but we can't do it without you. So send your donation to Flashback Academy, and we'll take care of the rest. And those of you who need a donor form, let us know, because we are a nonprofit 501c3. And now, without further ado, because I know you didn't want to hear no more from me, let's hear from Dr. Clark. Good evening, Dr. Clark.
Good evening, Dr. Brown. How are you? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Wherever you may be joining us from this evening, excited to be here. Having some technical challenges, so if I seem to drop, no worries, I will get right back on the call. I do know, Ms. Dr. Brown, you have a few questions for me this evening that we need to address, and so I don't want to delay that, so let's get right to it. So what do you have for me?
Well, some of the questions are repetitive from different individuals, so I'm going to put these together. What is the difference between grief and mourning?
Great question, great question. So we visited this early on during our time together, but there definitely is a difference between grief and mourning. And oftentimes we interchangeably. But if I can help give some clarification to providing you with the difference between the two this evening, we look at grief. Grief is the inward expressions that we have related to loss. So it's what we think and feel on the inside when we lose a loved one. On the opposite end of that spectrum is what we call mourning. And so mourning is externally what we are experiencing on the inside. So the mourning part is when we're doing the private or public expressions of our where this is a way for people to have an outlet for what they're grieving. And so this is where we share the pain and the disruption caused by the death, right? So in the morning, that's where we're having our celebrations, right? So that's where we're having our funerals. That's where we're praying. That's where we have our wake. That's where other cultures say we're black. That's where visiting our grave sites. That's where looking at photos. That's where certain behaviors come in. And so it is the outward expression of what we are feeling inwardly, if that makes sense. And so in order for the healing process to really be have its total shape, you need to experience both of those things. So we need to allow the grieving part to happen, but in order to heal, we must also allow ourselves to mourn. And oftentimes, we don't do that. So that's the difference. One's the inward expression, one's the outward expression. Mr. Brown?
And here we go. The next individual spoke of five stages of grief and wanted some clarification of what are they. So if we can provide that answer for him, we'll move on to the next one. But making sure that we hit this, this individual had sent this out a couple of times. So we appreciate your patience, caller.
Okay. So our five stages of grief that we typically talk about, usually we talk about them, denial as being one of our stages of grief. We talk about bargaining in our stages of grief. We talk about depression as one of our stages, anger, and then our final stage is acceptance. These stages do not happen in a linear fashion. They do not happen in any particular order. You may find that you do not experience all of the stages. And you might find that you visit a stage more than once. So the experience of them, again, is very individual. And what you experience may vary from what someone else may experience. But those are our five stages. So let me help you give you a little definition for them before we move on. So in denial, it's just what it says. That's when we are not ready for it. We're not ready to accept the fact that it's gone on. In denial, they say that we have the denial stage because that's a protective factor. That's a protective stage for us. And then we have a bargaining. So in bargaining, that might be where you're asking those questions, right? And you're asking, you might be asking the Lord or whoever you feel your higher being is, you're trying to make some negotiations, right? Well, take me, not them, or if I do this, you know, if you just let them stay, I'll never do this again. So we find ourselves making these little deals either with ourselves or with our higher power. Anger is just what it says. It's anger. We're angry at what's happened. We're angry at the loved one or at that particular loss. And it's an anger that does not typically mimic the anger that one would have due to like an argument or a conflict with someone. It's an anger that if you are not careful, this anger can be potentially dangerous because it is an anger that can sometimes not have any boundaries or limits to it. Unbeknownst to the one that is displaying the behaviors associated with this anger. The depression is very normal in a time of grief and loss. It is a depression that has those same symptoms and that same criteria as your clinical depression. You might have some isolation, no interest in activities. Your sleeping pattern may change. Your eating pattern may change. But the difference here is that it's more of a situational depression. We want to keep an eye on this depression because it can very well turn into a clinical depression, and that's definitely not what we want at any time. And then the acceptance. Some people find themselves never reaching the acceptance stage, right? Acceptance is just what it is. You've made peace with the loss. However, you've chosen to make peace with it. It's at this point where you're able to embrace that pain and now live life with intention and with purpose to honor that loss. And you might find yourself, even though you found yourself in a place of acceptance, guess what? You may fall out of acceptance. And you might find yourself back in one of those other stages. So these stages are very fluid, and you can fall in and out of them at any time. Dr. Brown.
Wow, yeah. Thank you. We do have one last one. This one is a bit of a challenge because of the way that it's being presented, and I'm sure you'll pick up on it right away. But it says, my loved one has not died yet, but I already feel like I'm grieving.
Okay. So we've talked about this before, right? That's that anticipatory grief. Remember early on during our time together, we were talking about various types of grief, and we came across that grief that we call anticipatory. And so what happens in anticipatory grief, it's preparing for the transition of a loved one. So we know that this is going to happen, and we try to prepare ourselves for it, right? But even in the case of when it is anticipated, that does not make the impact of it any less. So anticipatory grief is one of those types of grief that many people feel like they are able to take the time that they need to say goodbye. And so when we have this type of grief before us, it challenges us to make a decision as to how we're going to live out the rest of that time with that loved one. And so you might find yourself starting to experience some of the stages of grief even before that loss has occurred, because we know in our mind and we're anticipating it happening. And so automatically we start to have some of those feelings that are associated with loss. And so those stages start to kick in, and we start to have some of those experiences that come along with grief and loss.
Okay, and to wrap it up, this is the one that I've probably agonized over more than any of them, was how can I end my grief sooner?
Wow. That is a loaded question. So remember, there is no timeline to grieving. You are in control of your grieving process. It is an independent journey. So you determine when it starts. You determine when it ends for you. And that's something, that determination comes when you feel that you are at a place of resolve and accept, where you can live life with intention and purpose and honor that loss and not be impacted or hindered or crippled by that loss experience. So it's all up to you as to when you end your grieving process.
Well, we've tackled that list of questions there, Dr. Clark, and excuse me if I've cut you off at all, not intentional. But I know you, as always, prepare some type of food for thought that we can carry away with us just before you decide to wrap it up. So do you have a lesson for today? Because I know I threw a lot of stuff at you that has been kind of building up. And you folks out there who've been patient enough to wait and hoping that I would get to it, I hope we're all okay now as we continue to work towards moving forward. Dr. Clark, what do you got for us?
Dr. Brown?
Yes.
Hello.
Still here.
I'm sorry, my technical is. What was that question again?
No, I think we're at a point where if you had some type of a key theme that you wanted to share today, we've answered for everybody else, but maybe there was something in particular to share with your listeners.
Well, we were going to, and I'm looking at the time here, we were going to tackle the other side of actually that last question. So the last question was centered around how can I end my grieving process sooner?
Yes.
And we were going to tackle the other side of that about the grieving process never ends. Because there's always some aspect of the grief or loss that makes its way back to visiting us. And so what we learn to do is develop those skills that we need to help us continue to live in the face of those things. And so for some, they may come to that resolve and say that I'm okay and that these anniversaries and these birthdays and these holidays no longer impact me in a way that cripples me at that moment and takes me back to that time of that loss. Whereas for others, those holidays and those special moments and those special times that we've had with those loved ones seem to carry that same impact no matter how long it's been. But again, what we've been able to do is to develop the skills that we've needed and put our place in plan and have made a commitment to honor that loss and develop ways that we can continue to live and not be crippled by those feelings that we have during the time of grief and loss. And so that's kind of where we were going to have a discussion tonight, but it's always much better when we have the questions that we can impart some knowledge and make sure that people get their questions answered and their needs met that way. When I prepare material, it's just so that there's education that can be provided, but I enjoy answering the questions, whether they be by email or whether they are said personally on the line. And so, again, as always, I hope that there was something shared or said tonight that can encourage someone along the way in their journey. Maybe they're not in that journey right now. Maybe they have not had this experience, but hopefully something is said so that should they have to cross this path, that they can remember some words that were said to them and find some healing and some hope in them.
Wow. Okay. This has been very, very powerful. I hope you folks are getting the same that I'm getting in your own special way. I'm going to be reaching out to you folks because we're going to have poetry coming up this Saturday. If you had an opportunity to write a letter or say something to a loved one, we're going to ask or invite folks to share. You know, Dr. Clark just talked about grief, and because of each year, you get an opportunity to have a choice. You can grieve every time that anniversary comes up, their birthday or the day that they passed, or you can celebrate it. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. So I'm going to have a special poem for you folks. I will ask you to bring a hanky with you for our 8 o'clock show, 8 a.m. But if you've got something that you've shared with a loved one, you guys are welcome to do that. I got something very special. So after Dr. Clark wraps this up and takes it home, I'm going to share something with you folks that will help you as it relates to sometime the it doesn't have to be a grief or a mourning. It might just
right.
be a celebration. So Dr. Clark, go ahead and take us home.
In the words of my best friend, Dr. Alan Wolpert, my grief journey has no one destination. I will not get over it. The understanding that I don't have to be done is liberating. I will mourn this death for the rest of my life. Until next time, give yourself permission and give yourself room to grieve. Until Saturday, goodbye for now.
Folks, you know, I believe that history is important. There's something called the historical rite of passage, which says that we should learn from our past so that we don't keep making some of the same mistakes. But sometimes our past is what shapes us and motivates us to today. And I don't know about everybody's personal life journey, but I can remember a lady that I never grieved for, but she passed. She was the first person I ever seen pass. I didn't really understand what it was, but it all came together later on when all of a sudden my parents told me to go outside and play. It was rather abrupt because I was waiting for supper, but I was told to go outside and play. And then the ambulance came, and it all became a fog. And later I understood that my great-grandmother had passed. And I remember her sitting me on her lap, rocking me in that old green chair that just, it had been forever, and she set these little white things, looked like napkins or doilies or whatever you folks call them. And those were some fun memories. And she used to ask me, so what do you want to be when you grow up, or things that I should think about? She used to tell me sometimes I need to just shut up because I talk too much and just breathe. And be grateful that I'm doing that. So this song that I'm singing for you, or not me singing, that I'm playing for you, is for your great-grandmother, whether you knew her or not, because I'm sure you probably figured it out. If it hadn't have been for your great-grandmother in her youthfulness, because we never picture our grandparents in ever looking young, okay? But there was a time when your grandmother was had a whole lot of energy, and she was very special. And if it hadn't have been for her, it wouldn't have been for your grandmother. If it hadn't been the grandmother, wouldn't have had a mother. I think you guys kind of get it now. So this is for grandma. See if we can get that going.
Grandma ain't left in church on Sunday morning. Grandma ain't played a tambourine so well. Grandma came, used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. A piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma sing. Grandma came, soothe the local unwed mother. Hey, used to ache sometimes and swear. Grandma, hey, used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hand, grandma, hey.
ATR.
Grandma, hey. Used to hand me piece of candy. Grandma, pick me up each time I fell. Grandma, If I get to heaven, I'll